Up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you can be with us on a Tuesday. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We are previewing the Dallas Cowboys and our trip through the NFC East to the Giants yesterday, Cowboys today. Yesterday, we told you the story of Marcus Stroman being traded to New York from Toronto, but it wasn't the Yankees that he got traded to. He got traded to the Mets. And Stroman is a New York guy. He was excited to go to New York, but he really was excited to go to the Yankees. And there was a commotion in the clubhouse after he was told he was going to the Mets, and people speculated that it was because he was going to the Mets, and that was the reason that he had a kind of a commotion in the locker room in Toronto. Now, he denies this. He said, look, I'm excited to be part of the Mets. I'm excited to return home to New York. I'm excited to be part of their plans, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, No. The commotion had nothing to do with that. No. The commotion had to do with I was talking to the management of the Blue Jays and kind of airing out some of my problems. He said, quote, the commotion was a discussion I had with some of our coaches and higher-ups in our organization. So it was kind of an exit meeting where I was just voicing my opinion. I didn't like how a couple of things were handled along the process, and that was it. It had nothing to do with the Mets at all. It all hit me kind of quick. But when asked about exactly what was your disappointment in the process, Stroman didn't really have an answer. So, look, all right, maybe it was just the fact that you wanted to tell the Blue Jays how awful they are as an organization. But let's be honest, the clues are right there. You wanted to be a Yankee. You wanted to go to New York. You went to the Mets. I don't blame you whatsoever. You know what? I know you want to make a good impression on your new team. I get it, so I understand the PR move. But we get you, Marcus. We get you. We understand. Don't worry about it. You're all good. Go play for the Mets. Say all the right things. Meanwhile, just look casually over to the other side of the city and see the Yankees going to the postseason and playing in the World Series. Maybe that'll be you someday somewhere else. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, being in this business as long as I've had, you'd think I'd seen it all and I wouldn't be as shocked to see a story. Because, I mean, I've seen crazy, crazy stuff in the world of sports. But, Ron, this has me going, I can't believe it got to this. A Louisiana judge ordered that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and three officials from January's NFC title game be questioned under oath about the controversial no call that helped the Rams beat the Saints in January's title game.
Throw them in jail.
They're going to be under oath talking about this.
They're going to jail.
Do you believe this story?
I can't wait for the mugshot.
This is unbelievable. Attorney Antonio Lemon, who filed a lawsuit over the game that advanced the Rams to the Super Bowl, said he and the league attorneys will pick a mutually, I can't believe I'm reading this, mutually agreeable date for depositions in New Orleans, barring any league appeals that might delay or cancel the questioning. What is this? Believe this worked. I laughed and laughed and laughed when they filed suit on this.
This is fantastic. don't knock this, people.
They actually this all the way to a point where they're going to question the commissioner.
I know the date.
What's the date?
The date should be September 15th.
Okay, why?
because the Saints will be in L.A. taking on the Rams.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Have it on a Sunday. It's like, no, you guys don't get to watch this game.
Oh, no, you don't.
Because
oh,
you
no,
didn't
you
watch
don't.
It the first time.
No, yeah, that's a good point. That's a great line. I think the city of New Orleans and the Saints organization and fan base, they deserve to know what happened in the NFC Championship game. I'll tell you what happened, Antonio Lamont. Referees blew the call. That's what happened.
No, there's much more to that, Tony. There's got to be.
We can get some level of truth, some information, so we can all heal a little bit better. Oh, they still can't take it.
Meanwhile, Atlanta is laughing.
I know, hysterically.
Like, you can't 28-3 us anymore. You're taking the NFL to
Unbelievable.
Court.
Unbelievable.
So three officials, I guess the three down in that corner.
So let me ask you this.
Guy who does the who changes the downs, does he get subpoenaed as well?
Yeah, does he get subpoenaed
as
well?
Is he a witness?
Right. I got a question though. Here's me. Here's long term slippery slope Tony D. All right. Because a guy filed a lawsuit against the NFL for a game in which he did not like the result, can a fan sue a team for making a dumb call or a dumb decision that led to a loss?
Oh, I was going to go, what about player?
Yeah, right?
Dez right. Bryant has an argument.
Right? The players one is even better. If a player actually sues the league and says, wait, that was like Dez Bryant, that's a perfect example.
That was a catch.
And you destroyed an opportunity for us to play for the NFC Championship game.
Where we would have gone to the Super Bowl and won.
That's right. We would have won. I think I owe an explanation. His reasoning here, right? His quote, and I'm going to read it again so you fully understand why I'm going down this road. So we can get some level of truth, some information, so we can all heal a little better. Now, remember, he's using this lawsuit as a way for Saints fans to heal about a situation, a game in which it did not go their way and they feel horrible. He said, quote, far as I'm concerned, we can't move on until there's been some reparation and some consequence for what happened. You can make that same statement if a fan sued Pete Carroll for not handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch at the end of that Super Bowl.
Yes.
You can make that same statement for a fan to Brett Favre of the Vikings when he threw that interception against the Saints in the NFC title game.
Come on.
You can make that exact same quote. That exact same quote. So if it's good for this, why can't it be good for a fan going, and Eli Manning, you so-and-so, way to go. You ruined our season by doing this and that. Why can't it go down that road? Like,
well,
this
I
is
don't
unbelievable.
Know. You can't really blame Eli Manning for anything. Come on. He didn't do it.
This
you
seriously
can certainly blame Pete Carroll for not handing the ball off.
We need
take
a legal
that title away from the Patriots.
We need a show legal expert. Any of you lawyers out there want to be our show's legal correspondent? Because I need to know about this.
Yeah, and please have an old timey Southern voice.
That's right.
Because we only accept those lawyers old timey Southern voice. You
that's
know,
right.
Stereotypical one. I'm thinking of like John Gooden in the B movie.
Of course, right? With the suspenders, right?
Yes, the suspenders, the oversized, you know, the oversized gut.
Now, Roger Goodell, you mean to tell me those officials saw that play, reacted the way they did, and it was all perfectly normal? Is that what you're telling this court today?
Yeah, completely. I love that. He's got a bulldog next to him and he brings into court.
Yes.
Sits on the stool. Sit down, Ruckus. All right, back to you, Commissioner. So Breeze throws the pass. And all of a sudden, guy comes out of nowhere, hits a receiver. And guys don't throw a flag. And what are you doing in your office in New York City? Well, actually, I was in Kansas City. I don't care where you were. Where were you thinking when you saw that? I barely was watching. You mean you weren't watching the game? I mean, this could be great television, couldn't it?
This could be the new trial of the century. Exactly. Move over, OJ. And then 20 years from now, we could have the people versus Roger Goodell.
This is awesome. He says LeMond's lawsuit alleges fraud by NFL officials, has crafted the suit to avoid having it taken over by federal court, in part by keeping the damages it's seeking low. So this is his strategy. This is actually pretty brilliant for a guy who's never went to law school. I think this is pretty brilliant. He's keeping it so it doesn't go to federal court because he wants to keep it in Louisiana. So he wants to keep it within the realm of where the people are affected. I like this idea.
He'll get a fair trial, right?
Yeah, that's right. He'll get.
You know, I mean, it's you know, you get a jury of your peers. Well, most of his peers, I'm pretty certain. You know, I mean, if you hold the trial in New Orleans in Louisiana, you're probably going to get a few biased opinions. I would imagine.
Yeah, this is really, really interesting. This is a really interesting story.
The only thing I'm uncertain about, what's the end game?
What is it?
I mean, do they say, you know what? That Super Bowl last year, that snooze fest of a Super Bowl that most people thought was a snooze fest, we're going to take that away, and Saints, you get to go.
But
in the middle of the year, we're just going to have an exhibition game between the Saints and the Patriots.
Exactly. We're gonna have to play it in like an old college stadium, like in the middle of nowhere, and just play it out.
Or does it immediately get thrown out because Sean Payton didn't play the rest of the game under protest?
Right. Maybe he should have done that. But seriously, what is, like, all seriousness, what does he want? Does he want a conspiracy? Is he trying to undercover a conspiracy here?
Do the Saints hang a banner saying, you know,
like, why doesn't
Jury approved NFC championships?
Yeah. Why doesn't Roger Goodell go, you know what? You got me. Three officials all blew this call, and that's what happened. You got me.
Or maybe he's that type of guy who's, you know, who complained about a waiter just so he can get the waiter fired. Maybe these officials get fired.
That's true. That's a good point,
or
too.
Or do they have to publicly apologize and go through the French market? Tarred and feathered.
Well, what do the officials, their collective bargaining agreement that they have with the league, I gotta believe it doesn't allow them to just be canned over one or two bad calls. Like I think they're like, there's a process. If you want to get rid of us, there's a process you're gonna have to go through. But because remember they struck. Remember the replacement officials. Remember the disaster. But I don't know what this, to me, it's an entertaining story, but I don't know what the end game is. If you're Goodell, yeah, all right, sit in front, be asked all these questions and be like, okay, what do you want me to do now? Seriously, what do you want me to do now? I can't have a league that replays games at the whim of people. Right? Remember, listen, I always say this with people all the time, right? Which is, you've heard this many times where, again, it's late in the game, a kicker misses a field goal, and kicker misses a field goal in the first quarter, right? And they say at the end of the game, and the team loses by two, they say, well, if he had made that field goal in the first quarter, we would have won by one. No, because the game was played out based on the current score and circumstance of the game. Plays were called differently because of what the score was and the sense of urgency, right? So if you're down by two, you're going to tend to do things differently. And then if you were up by one, so the game isn't defined by a missed field goal at the end. Likewise, This was a call with 2 minutes left, around 2 minutes left in the game. So obviously there's a whole bunch of attention on it, and it was the turning point in the game. But what, again, going slippery slope, what if you started having teams or lawyers for teams that said, yeah, well, in that first quarter, man, you missed a touchdown. Like, it was clear, he clearly crossed the ball across the plane, and they didn't call it a touchdown. And when they reviewed it, they didn't see the touchdown, and it was clearly a touchdown, and he took it off the board. Like those kind of things. Like if you're Roger Goodell, you're going to be like, I can't show up for every fan base's lawsuit based on what my officials are doing every single game. Because every level becomes important. Well, this is the NFC Championship game. Next, it's the divisional. Next, it's a wild card. Next, it's a game that keeps me out of the playoffs. Next, it's a game that keeps me from winning the division. Next, it's just a game from giving me a winning record. Like Goodell's flying around going, yeah, I have no idea why he called holding in the second quarter.
And then all of a sudden the league starts to slip.
Right.
Starts becoming, all of a sudden becomes the NHL. Yeah. Or MLS becomes the fifth important league in the country.
Meanwhile, Vince McMahon is like, in the XFL, you can't sue us.
for anything whatsoever. We can do whatever we want. Our officials can call the game as they say, and you cannot take us to court. I will not be subpoenaed in a court of law for the XFL.
But
like that wimp, Roger Goodell.
But
so if you want your wimp football, go there.
But we'll let fans challenge the refs.
Yeah,
the
yes, officials, that's right.
In a cage
fan
match.
Sees a call he doesn't like, he can challenge that official to a cage match, right? I love the XFL. Oh, second time's a charm. And then when I turn 80, it'll be like 17th time's a charm.
Yep.
Just still be around. Still trying to break through, become a league. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Basically, I want to ask that question. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think this is a good idea?
I'm just curious, what do they hope to gain? I mean, Roger Goodell, hasn't he already admitted that the officials missed a call?
Yeah.
Hasn't the NFL already came out and said, yes, they missed a call?
We wish we did it differently, but we didn't.
I mean, you were there. You saw it live.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they could do. They can't go back in time and replay it. It's just, I mean, are the Saints seeking, or is New Orleans seeking money lost?
Yeah, $75,000 given to charity.
They weren't even hosting.
I know. That's what they want. It's SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. One personal note, Ron Culver. Tavian Feaster is leaving Clemson to go to South Carolina to play for the Gamecocks.
There you go.
All right. Maybe things are looking up for South Carolina this upcoming season. Oh, I hope so. They are one of only two teams in the nation that has to play both Alabama and Clemson on their schedule. Texas A&M is the other one. That's really hard to do, in case you didn't know that, playing Clemson and Alabama on your schedule.
Two W's, right?
Yeah, that's easy. That's going to be an easy romp through the Carolina schedule.
And you look at the South Carolina schedule, you just look at those and go, you know what? There's a W, and there's another W.
Yep. Oh, God.
Move on to the next.
Alabama, Florida, Clemson, Texas A&M. That's a tough schedule. So I'll look forward to 6 wins and another Belk Bowl appearance in Charlotte. Well, they'll get shut out by another ACC team.
Belk Bowl, is that a moving company? What is Belk?
Belk is a department store.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
That's terrible.
That's right.
A terrible name.
By the way, yesterday, in case you were listening to the little intricacies of the show, I asked the question whether or not the Blue Bonnet Bowl back in the day was named after the butter or the flour, and we did look it up, and you say flour,
flour.
Right?
All right? Flour, because it's based in Houston.
Oh, very good.
So the used to be played at Rice Stadium, then they moved it to the Astrodome, and it was called the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl, and that gave way to the Houston Bowl, which is now called something else.
Is it the Texas Bowl now?
Texas Bowl, yes. Thank you.
Summer's heat can be
Stadium.
That's right. Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I did bring up college football because I want to give kudos to Alabama. Now, listen. I give kudos to teams when they are going after tough schedules. And Alabama, I will give them props, agreed with Wisconsin. So I give Wisconsin credit too here. Wisconsin to have a home-and-home series that'll start in 2024. Now, Alabama is going to play in that year. They're going to go to Camp Randall Stadium. Now, you may be asking yourself, oh, gee, when was the last time an SEC school went to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin? Well, I have that answer for you. The last time that happened was in 1971 when LSU went up there. Alabama went up there in 1928. Auburn went up there in 1931. So I'll give credit where credit is due. Good job, Alabama and Wisconsin, scheduling games against each other. Well done. You know what? This is the byproduct of the committee saying, hey,
schedule some tough competition in your non-conference games. Now, I'm not saying this wouldn't have happened. Maybe it would have. Maybe, you know, Alabama's played Penn State. They played a couple of other teams in non-conference slates to start the season. Like, they played USC and whatnot. And there's been other schools that have gone out of their way to play some tough non-conference competitions. I think Texas and Ohio State played a home-and-home series one time. But the committee has made a point to say to these teams, go out and get some tough competition. Your schedule, your conference may be tough, but you can't always rely on that. It's kind of a line, you know, there's an old line that says parity doesn't equal excellence. It, you know, just means parity. You can be mediocre and be beat up each other. You know, it just doesn't mean excellence. So when people say, oh, my conference is so tough, you never know. Week in and week out, we just beat each other up in the conference. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're good. It just means you've got parity. You could all be awful in doing the same thing, or you could all be great in doing that. You've got to find a level of excellence. So the committee is saying you can't always count on your conference year in and year out to be so good that it carries you to the day. Go out in your non-conference schedules and go get some tougher competition. Now, I know the SEC gets hammered for this because they do have some cupcakes on these schedules when you look at Florida and Alabama and all the teams in the SEC. Because, again, I mean, think about it. If you're Auburn, let's say, and you're playing Texas A&M and Mississippi State and Ole Miss and LSU and Alabama every single year, yeah, why would you want to schedule a Wisconsin, a Penn State, a Michigan? Why would you want to do that? Well, the committee is saying, go do that anyway. And I think the SEC, for its part, has stepped up the game. Auburn is going to play Oregon. But, you know, I mean, Justin Herbert is one of the Heisman Trophy contenders at quarterback for the Ducks, right? So they went out and got some tough and got getting better non-conference opponents. And because these games are so far in advance, I think the committee does look at that and say, look, Alabama tried to play Wisconsin, tried to toughen up their schedule in 2024 by playing Wisconsin. You know, the Badgers had a down year, maybe some bad recruiting. Maybe they went through a coaching change. Guys transferred, whatever it is. And by 2024, maybe Nick Saban's not around anymore and Alabama's taking a step back or two. Who knows? But at least the committee is seeing that these teams are doing that. And I think we're getting better college football games because of it, because there isn't that feeling of, well, there goes the national championship when you lose a game, like to start the season. Now it's like, yeah, we did lose that game, but it is a tough opponent. It is a hard game, and it's probably not going to bite us when the time comes to determine who's the best team in the nation.
Yeah, as long as it's early in the season.
Right.
I just had this feeling, though, that rule only really applies to a handful of teams.
So if you are...
I'm thinking, say, a team like Michigan.
Okay.
I don't think that rule would apply to someone like Michigan. I think if they lost to a top 25 team in the first, you know, say, first couple of weeks of the season, I don't know if their conference is strong enough.
Right. That's the thing about the SEC, right? Like Alabama... Let's say in 2024, Alabama opens up the season against Wisconsin, and they go up to Madison and they lose, right?
And they lose,
and they start 0-1. You're like, oh, wow, something wrong with the Tide. Well, you know, Wisconsin's tough. They're a really good team, and they got beat. But they have enough games in the SEC to go, okay, but now look who they've beaten. Oh, they beat LSU. Oh, they beat Auburn. Oh, they beat Mississippi State. Oh, they beat Texas A&M. Now all of a sudden they run the table, right? They win the toughest conference in football. They play for the SEC title game, and they win it. All of a sudden you look at the Wisconsin loss and go,
first game.
All right, first
Jitters.
Game out of the gate. All right. New, home game up north. Okay, we can excuse it. I think you're right. I think there are some schools that can't overcome that. I'll tell you this: look at Oregon. Oregon's going to play Auburn to start the season. I guarantee you, people will go, well, of course, you know, Auburn should win that game. Auburn's going to be better, but even if Oregon loses, there's going to be this. Oh well, here's the Pac-12 again. Can they even stand up to teams in the SEC or the Big 12? That'll be the conversation, and that might be unfair, but that's kind of what we do, and it's kind of how college football works in the early stages. But like I said, I give credit here to both of these schools. They didn't necessarily have to do this, but they are, but they're doing it at least, and that's pretty good. It's pretty good for everybody.
And that's the good thing about it, is that these schools are willing to play against each other, signing up these, you know, years in advance, and hopefully they're still relevant.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only thing we got to keep our fingers crossed for.
They did play in Arlington in 2015. What I like about this is going to Camp Randall for Alabama. That's a trip to Madison. That's pretty, that's a well done schedule for in the next 5 years. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb Tuesday morning. And let's start with the good, Ron Culver.
So the good, you know what we have? It's Tuesday. We got a two for Tuesday for good.
Oh, nice. All right.
Two for Tuesday good. Because we had a late edition. I was watching TV earlier. And I was watching, you know, catching some of the highlights of last night's game. And I had to bring this up. This was really cool. The Blue Jays finally have done it. They had three major leaguers, or three sons of former major leaguers, all in the starting lineup.
Oh, did they?
Yep. You already know about Vlad Guerrero Jr.
That's right.
He had his coming out party during the Home Run Derby. Kevin Biggio has been making a name for himself up there, and he's become a mainstay for the Blue Jays.
Yep, saw that.
And last night we saw the premiere, or the debut, I should say, of Bo Bichette.
Oh, is that Dante Bichette's kid?
Yep.
I did not make that connection.
So, and what's really neat about this is that Biggio plays second, Guerrero Jr. plays third, and Bichette plays shortstop.
Oh, no kidding.
So they're all right there next to each other.
That's pretty cool.
And they kind of went through minor leagues together, too. They played with a minor league team in Buffalo. And there was a picture of the Buffalo, I think it's the Bisons.
The Bisons. Yeah.
They tweeted out a photo of, like, oh, they're all grown up, and with sad face because they had the three of them standing each other. I guess the last time they were all together.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Team, so I just thought that was kind of cool. I was like, hey,
that
you
is
know
really
what?
Neat.
I mean,
you good job.
A lot of times you'll get one son, like you'll get like a Ken Griffey Jr. who played, whose dad played, or you know Barry Bonds, whose dad played, but that you know is just one person on the team. It's very rare. I don't know another time where we've had three players of. Well, I mean, certainly two Hall of Famers, one who has an argument. I mean, Dante Bichette was pretty good.
Yeah, well, it really is amazing that, you know, kids that, you know, like we always talk about the Griffeys, right, and the father-sons, the Bonds and things like that.
Right.
But the reality of it is that's very rare. It's not common that a Major League Baseball player has kids and they become Major League Baseball players.
I mean, we talked to the fielders.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And for them to become successful is very rare as well.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the Major League Baseball players or NBA players or NFL players that have had boys. And how many of them have turned into athletes? Very, very small percentage.
Usually it's one family.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And football's the Matthews.
It just feels like that it happens because we get, you know, we pump up those stories pretty good and we remind you that his dad played in the league and whatnot, but it actually is very rare. And to have three guys that did fulfill that legacy and become Major League Baseball players on one team, that's remarkable. And playing at the same time. Let's go down that line even further. So it's rare to get Major League Baseball players to have sons to become Major League Baseball players, but it's also rare that like these three guys are on the same team and all of them made it.
Yeah.
Right? What if one of them was like, well, I'm still stuck in AAA because I can't hit as well as the other guys.
Can't hit the curve.
Can't hit the curve, right? That's a good story. That is a really good story.
There was a eerie statistic, too, because Bo Bichette got his first hit last night in his first at bat. Right. So, but they put up the career of Bichette and of both Bichettes, their first hit. Their first hit came, was their first hit each for both of them was a single. Then the both against the Royals, which I thought that was kind of cool. But Bo Bichette got it in his first game. Dante got his first hit in his third game.
That's
so
awesome.
So Bo can hold that over Dante.
That's right. That's good. Well, that is a good. So you said you had a twofer.
I had a twofer. The other good of the day is Stars, They're Just Like Us. That's what I'm going with it.
Katie
Nolan. You've heard of her.
Yeah, of course.
She had to pretend to be U.S. Women National Team star Rose Lavelle in order to get into LeBron James' after party after the ESPYs.
I saw a little bit of this. So she wanted, I'm glad you clarified this because I just saw the headline. So she wanted to go to LeBron's party and she tricked her way in by saying she was Rose Lavelle. Or hold on, was she invited to the party as Katie Nolan and thought she would go around with the guests and pretend she was Rose Lavelle?
No, she was not invited to the party. She was not. She did not make the invite list.
Oh, she did not make the invite list.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
After the ESPYs, because she had worked the red carpet. She had worked with Diana Rossini and Cassidy Hubbard. And then they were going to go to LeBron James's, it's called the Uninterrupted Party, which she recounts as being famously impossible to get into.
Oh.
So they go up there anyways. Now, Diana Rossini and Cassidy Hubbard are on the list.
But so Katie Nolan is not.
Katie Nolan is not. And she knows this because she was looking, you know, you kind of, I guess you were able to see the list a little bit, or she was able to hear. I don't know how she found out. She knew she wasn't on the list. But as they were arriving, the women's national team was leaving.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And so since the women's national team was leaving, Diana Rossini just turned to her and said, yeah, her name is it's L-A-V. Hey, Rose, how do you spell your name?
Sweet.
And Katie Nolan didn't miss a beat. She finished it off. Oh, E-L-L-E. And the bouncer.
Fantastic.
Person, yep. So Diana Rossini threw another assist.
That's fantastic. Well played, ladies. Well played. Good job. Good job. Good for them. That's funny. That is really funny. All right, what's the bad?
The bad of the day is the apocalypse is coming, and it's descending on Sin City.
Yeah, we always got the apocalypse coming, so yeah, how are we dying now?
This one is an invasion of grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. I've been in Vegas. This is Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently it is so bad that it's showing up on weather forecasts.
Yeah, I've seen these. When I lived there, it was bad, but not as bad as I've been seeing it the last couple of years. It's getting worse.
All these different videos that are popping up are just amazing, and they're just showing like this is a cloud of. It's not really a cloud. It's just a bunch of grasshoppers. A cloud of grasshoppers.
That's incredible.
I mean, so bad. It's like getting hard to walk around Vegas without just, you know, fighting your way through bugs. Like people are just taking cover. So that's the apocalypse.
The one thing about bugs that I hate, it's like, first of all, they're annoying, but what I hate about them the most is the fact that like two bugs can get together and make like 10,000 other bugs.
Yes.
Right? That drives me nuts. Like the fact that that's how they multiply so quickly. And so you're like, oh, you just can't get them all.
Well, the thing I'm most curious about is how many bugs does it take for it to appear like a rain cloud on a satellite?
That's a good question.
Because that's what's happening. That's what the issue is that when you look at those weather, you know, when you look at a weather map and you see like this rain, like, oh, a rain's going to come in my area. Any app that you have that has a radar does this, or you watch your news and, you know, you see they show the rain cloud and they'll show green and then yellow and red, making it more severe. This thing is literally showing up on these radars, like, on those screens, like a rain cloud.
That's awful.
That's a lot of grasshoppers.
So what you got to do is you got to find what eats grasshoppers and get them to Vegas as quickly as possible. Give them a room, comp their meals, you know, go out there and eat the grasshoppers. Make sure you take care of them. Give them, you know, their private balcony and whatnot, and let them go out there and eat all these grasshoppers.
Are you saying people?
No. Like, what eats grasshoppers?
Birds.
Go get as many of them as you can. Put them up in a hotel.
That's
tell
too
the
hot.
Birds they're fine. Tell the,
that's why
know,
the grasshoppers
few...
are going there, because they're like, birds aren't going to fly here. They're just bursting into flames.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Get the birds into Vegas. Give them a hotel room. Give them tickets to a show. Tell the birds they have all the grasshoppers they want. Come back. Enjoy your time at the pool. And everything's on us.
Just say the buffet's on us.
Everything's comped. Everything's comped. You take care of the grasshoppers. Everything's comped. I make the birds, go have a good time. It's like when I lived in New Hampshire, we had like this golf course. It was deep in the woods. It was a really nice golf course, and it was in the woods. And I remember I used to play it with my friends when I was in high school. And you could literally on the green, you could run away for a split second and turn, and there'd be a cloud of like black fly mosquitoes just hovering above you, right? And so it was a pain to play there because there was all these insects. And then one year they installed some bat houses to let the bats just feast every night, and then the problem kind of went away. Find what kills grasshoppers and let them duke it out. I don't know what eats grasshoppers. Get the birds out of it. But I looked.
Grasshopper buffet.
I looked it up, and you're right. It is a swarm. You can't even see. Like, there's one picture you can't even see.
You don't even
there's
see
this
the
light
building
pole,
behind it.
And there's just a swarm of grasshoppers, and you don't even dare walk near it because it's so petrifying. You're right. Apocalypse is coming. All right, what is the dumb?
It's perhaps the dumbest dumb I've ever heard in the history of dumb.
Yesterday was pretty dumb when you said they were remaking The Sopranos.
Yeah, this one's the worst thing I've ever heard. This was borderline bad. That's how dumb it is. Arizona police are going to start pulling over drivers who are following the law. Being good drivers to give them a $2 gas card.
No.
How great of a feeling is it anytime you see those sirens go off behind you?
Yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Listen, there's another way to do this. Okay. There's another way to do this. You can write down the license plate. Cops can write down the license plate.
Right.
And then just find this person, send something in the mail to the family that owns this car.
Mail the coupon.
Do not pull people over to recognize their good driving. No.
Because I can tell you, my favorite feeling in the world is driving and all of a sudden seeing lights all of a sudden just pop up behind you.
Please don't be me.
And that sense of relief, at least, when you change lanes and they keep going, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Whew.
I don't know what I did wrong, but I was going to jail.
And they pass you and you're like, yeah, that's great.
You're like, that's right. Keep on going.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, now, I mean, in Tempe, a cop may pull you over and just to give you a pat on the back saying, you know what, you used a turn signal there. Good job. Here's a $2 gift card.
And be like, okay, thanks. And by the way, can you call my boss to tell him I'm going to be late now because you pulled me over to give me a $2 gas card? Yep. I appreciate it. Thank you. Not only that,
but I also have to go home and change my pants.
That's right. That's right. Oh, it's nothing worse, man. I hate that.
Yeah, and then I thought about this. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was reading the story. It's like, okay, what if you're being a good driver and you get pulled over and, the cop comes up to your window, asks you to roll down the window, you roll down the window, and just a cloud of smoke goes out.
Yeah, right. You're like,
I was driving fine, officer, yeah, apparently.
Apparently.
You didn't think anything of it. Now I'm in jail.
I am such a careful driver because when I was younger, I wasn't, and I used to get tickets all the time. I used to get pulled over and get speeding tickets all the time. And I remember one time a cop said, hey, I just need to let you know, you get one more, they're probably going to pull your license. Because you only allowed certain points, you know, yep, how that works. And I was like 22, and I was always speeding. We'd go from one highway to the other highway on my way home, and we made this big loop. And I used to always accelerate coming around this corner onto the other highway, and I would get that thing going pretty hard. And there would be always a cop, and he'd pull me over. And finally he said, listen, you don't get another ticket for a while because you're pushing it. And so I learned to change my habits, and it affects me to this day. And even my wife goes, you know, you can go a little faster. And I go, no, I can't.
like that girl that was at State Farm. Girl, don't mess with my discount.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, still affects me to this day. Yeah, nothing's worse than getting pulled over.
I can't think of a worse sinking feeling.
I can think of
worse sinking feelings, but that's
terrible.
That one ranks right up there.
All right, so rethink that one, Tempe police. Rethink that one. SB Nation Radio, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, we're still talking about this Grasshopper Vegas situation. So when the Raiders move there, they're going to be playing in a dome. But when people walk
they've already officially changed their name.
Right, to the Grasshoppers?
Yeah, Las Vegas Grasshoppers.
Are they going to... like people walking out, like they're in the stadium and they're like, okay, everybody, we haven't cleared, the Grasshoppers haven't cleared the way yet. Well, we're waiting for their permission to leave the stadium. Like literally it's a cloud of these things.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, they're attracted to light. So does Vegas have to go dark
just to get the Grasshoppers to calm down for a second
or get them to leave? Say, hey guys, we're going to go dark for about a week, so these Grasshoppers will leave the strip? Because they're down on the strip. I mean, what if you planned a vacation And you've been looking so forward to this vacation, like, I can't wait to just hop from one hotel to the other. And you can't walk outside because you're being attacked by grasshoppers.
It's unreal.
I blame the Luxor.
Yeah, with that beam of light that goes to space. Light,
yeah, that's what attracted them.
The grasshoppers like, let's go
there. I watched Wreck-It Ralph.
Right. That's right. Wreck-It Ralph. No, seriously, that's an infestation. These videos and pictures are terrible.
Yeah, there was one video, like the parking lot was just covered with grass. You can't even walk to your car without stepping on, like, you between the casino, by the time you get to your car, you've probably killed about 200 grasshoppers.
I can't stand bugs, man. I can't stand them. They drive me nuts.
And grasshoppers aren't small.
No, they're not. that's the thing.
That's a big bug.
They're big. What's the thing? Wait a minute. Don't people eat them in Seattle?
In Seattle?
What is the delicacy of the Mariners games that people are eating? Well, is it grasshoppers?
Is it chocolate covered grasshoppers or chocolate covered crickets?
Oh, it's crickets. I think it's crickets. I may need to look it up, but it might be crickets. There's a delicacy in the Mariners game that you eat. I think it's crickets, and they're like frying them up and putting them in little bags and cups, and you're just eating these insects. Great source of protein.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it does. Totally disgusting.
No, grasshoppers.
Is it grasshoppers?
Yeah.
Unreal. So, yeah, go to this is where you can get them.
Toasted grasshoppers, a favorite of Seattle Mariner fans.
Okay, and also there was a reporter who sucks. There's a reporter that went out there and just said, I'm going to eat one of these things. He actually said, I liked it. Yeah, I really liked it.
He's lying.
He's lying. There's no way it's good.
I mean, how much seasoning do you need to put on a bug for you to eat it?
I need all of it. I need to know it's not a bug. I need to put it in between like 14 patties of meat and cheese. That's basically how I'd eat one.